This is Las Vegas Sun Sports Talk, the Rebel Room. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Mike Grimala, talking all things UNLV. And Mike, we have been doing this podcast together for, I can't count the years. I'm not good once I get to my second hand. But how many times have we talked on this podcast with enthusiasm that potentially we're talking about a team that could play in a game that has some kind of meaning to get to the tournament? I don't know if we've ever had this conversation. This is uncharted waters.
There's one other time, and it was the end of the 2018-19 season, or maybe 19-20. It was TJ Otzelberger's first year when they closed the season on a 5 or 6 game winning streak, and they were playing really well. Bryce Hamilton was a sophomore. And I thought that team was going to win the Mountain West tournament. And then their starting point guard got hurt in the last game of the season, and they got beat in the tournament.
You love that team, though.
I did.
You had a Javon Mooring man.
No, this is post-Javon Mooring.
Was it? Okay.
This was Elijah Mitchell Long. This was the team that knocked off undefeated San Diego State. Mm-hmm. When San Diego State was like number 4 in the country at San Diego. And then they ended the season on a 6-game winning streak. They were playing 4 guards. Bryce Hamilton was breaking out 20 points a game. Mitchell Long was the fastest, best point guard in the league. And I was excited about that team.
Okay. Can I ask you a question that I didn't tell you about ahead of time, because I didn't want you to think about it?
Yeah.
How much of this UNLV success, they've won, what, 5 of 6, and they're 17-11 on the year. How much of this hot play or streak is the product of one player, Bryce Hamilton, and how much of it is that Kevin Kruger's got something here, and watch out not just these next 5 or 6 games, but these next 5 or 6 years?
I'm going to split it up into even thirds. I'm going to say 33% Bryce Hamilton just being the best player in the league, 33% Kevin Kruger and his staff coaching this team along throughout the season into their roles really well, and then 33% just the other players, the role players, the guys who have gotten better as the season's gone along. They know their roles alongside Bryce Hamilton. They know where they fit in into the game plan. They know what's expected of them and how to do it. And they're doing it. Like, everybody's playing their role. So I'm going to split it evenly, 33% Hamilton, coaches, role players.
Okay, so I am firmly convinced, and I watched a good bit of last night of the UNR game, which was on Tuesday night. I don't know when our favorite listeners are listening. And I am firmly convinced, and I'm not sure if I'm right, but I am convinced that UNLV, not only do they match up well with, they beat every team in the league except San Diego State. Mm-hmm. I just think San Diego State plays good defense. They'll figure a way out to stop Hamilton, and they have UNLV's number. And I think for UNLV to win the Mountain West, to get to the tournament, which is their only path to the tournament, somebody like Boise State or Colorado State is going to have to beat San Diego State for us, for UNLV.
That's not an unpopular opinion. I know that's probably the prevailing opinion among fans is, hey, like they don't want that 4-5 matchup with San Diego State in the first round of the Mountain West tournament, just because UNLV has not had success against them this year. It'll be interesting down the stretch here. We've got 3 games left in the regular season. And the next 2 home games for UNLV, Boise State and Wyoming, you know, the 2 best teams in the league coming to Las Vegas in the next 6 days. So we're going to find out like how much of this run has been real and whether they are that caliber of team that can beat those front runners in Las Vegas. They don't have a chance to do it against, like, they've already played San Diego State twice. That's in the past. But they do have – these are the games left on the schedule. They get their chance against Boise State to show you what they can do. That first game was close. This is their first meeting with Wyoming. If they can win, you know, one of those games, I think you've got to feel really good about their chances going into the Mountain West tournament. Like, hey, they're going to be in the top 5. They'll have wins over Colorado State and Boise / Wyoming. that's a team that you've got to feel, you've got to like your chances at this point, considering, especially considering where they were a month ago.
When was the last time, a little trivia for our listeners, when was the last time UNLV received a bye in the Mountain West tournament? Because they've always had to play kind of in that play-in round to get to the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say it was that season that I was just talking about, because they ended up 12-6 that year in conference play. I think they were tied for second, and they got a bye. And then they played Boise State in the second round, and they had just blown out Boise State by 30 points at home, you know, right at the end of the regular season. And then the next matchup without Mitchell Long, Boise State beat them to knock them out of the conference tournament. So I think that was the last time. So
then a day later, during the conference tournament, Marvin Menzies got fired.
Yeah, no, this was TJ. This was TJ's first year.
Oh, was it? I am so, my history is so bad, and I apologize. You want me to talk about the 90 season? I'm your guy. 91, I'm your guy. 87, Elite Eight against Iowa, I'm your guy. You want me to talk about losing?
I can understand why these last 7 or 8 years will tend to blend together for people who follow UNLV. Because it seems like they've played this. It seems like every season plays out the same way. You know, they have a talented roster. They've got a couple 4-star players. They get an exciting transfer. They go 8-10 in Mountain West play, but they do just enough to make you think like, hey, maybe if they play well at the end of the year, they get a chance. And then they get stomped by San Diego State in the first round, or they get bounced by UNR. And that's just the end of it. It seems like that's been the season they've had for the last 10 years. But do you think this year could be different?
Theoretically, Mike, Hamilton could come back next year too, right?
Theoretically, yes. But he's already tried to go to the NBA twice. He was in the portal after this last season as well. I mean, this has got to be his swan song, I would think.
Okay. But theoretically, I'm just saying.
Theoretically, he does have one more year of eligibility left. What do you think the approval rating is of Kevin Kruger right now, coming off this sweep of Reno?
10. I haven't heard one person in the community say anything negative about Kevin Kruger. High school basketball people love him. He's in the gym. The results speak for themselves. He's going above and beyond to bring notoriety to the program. They've had a few nights of better. First of all, dude, how cool was that Robert Smith jersey retirement ceremony? And the fact that Kevin kind of orchestrated getting Freddie Banks his due earlier in the season, and Robert, if you just saw those pictures of Robert's face crying and how appreciative it is. You know, this is Kevin Kruger reaching back into Rebel tradition and history and bringing it all together as one family. I mean, the guy has been a complete home run, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I asked that question, because I'm thinking now it's getting to be the point where we assess his first year as a head coach, and they're 17-11. Like I said, they got 3 games left in the regular season. Let's say they lose the next two to, you know, the first place and second place team. They beat New Mexico. So they, you know, 18-13 overall.
If win they lose the next two games, I'm not as high on them as I am right now.
Oh, that's because that's what I'm wondering. And then okay. Say they, you know, they make it to the second round of the Mountain West tournament and they lose. But they swept Reno. They swept Colorado State, which is an NCAA tournament team. They got better throughout the season. Is this a successful season for him already? Or is there something he could do to make this not a successful season? Or has he already passed that threshold where it's like, hey, he's good. I'm excited about the future with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're already at that threshold. I think everything else is cherry on top. But with that said, it feels like if they would go maybe 1-2 in the final three and then lose early in the league tournament, you might be like, okay, well, maybe these results were just, you know, the product of Bryce Hamilton getting really hot. And maybe that 6-game streak where, you know, Mike and Ray got on the podcast and we're talking how great they were, you know, maybe that was kind of us being, you know, duped a little bit. You could say that. I mean, to Wyoming, you was just ranked 2 weeks ago, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
They were 22. Boise just beat San Diego State. They're another quality team. In your arena, and you're as hot as you can be, you got to at least split on that, Michael.
I think that's the result that I expect. I expect them to win one of those two games and then close the season strong at New Mexico, which is kind of, could be kind of be a trap game because you got to go on the road to play a bad team in a game that absolutely does not matter because at that point it's all about the conference tournament. So if they can win that game, split the two against the contenders, that's what I expect from them based on the level of play that I'm seeing right now.
18 and 12, right?
That would put them at 19 and 12.
Okay. So overall. Say they win one game in the tournament, they're 20 and 12, and then they lose, they're 20 and 13.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a 20-win season.
Do you qualify at 20 and 13 for the NIT?
You know, that's a good question.
Would you want to play in the NIT? Would you want to play in the CAA?
UNLV has traditionally – UNLV has not opted to play in those. I mean, it's been a while since they were in contention for that. I think a couple of times in the Dave Rice's later years – I think maybe that first year under TJ, they might have had an offer for the one of those smaller tournaments, and they've always turned them down. Mm-hmm. So it depends. It depends on the philosophy of the coaches, you know, what they want to get out of those tournaments and how they want to position it. You know, if you've got like a senior that you want to give a senior laden group that you want to give them a send off, or if you just want more reps and the additional 2 or 3 weeks of practice that you, because if you're still playing in tournaments, you're allowed to still practice full time into the off season, which some coaches think can really help. So, but traditionally they have not.
The reset button like Dave Rice did a few times, then you're not necessarily wanting to play in a low level tournament.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big factor as well. I wouldn't expect them to play in one of those tournaments, but you never know, but okay. They could find themselves getting invited if they're, you know, 20 and 13, like we said.
Yeah. Well, I will say that Bryce Hamilton's kind of been the driver of the car. And if he were to go down, obviously that would be tragic for their chances because, like you said in your math, he's been a third of, you know what I mean? But I will say that there's been some other players who've been pretty darn good. Or better than I thought, right?
Yes, I'd say just about almost the entire roster has at least lived up to or exceeded expectations at this point.
Okay. Well, there you go. I was going to try to name a few, but if you want to just throw that umbrella out there and cover the whole bench.
No, I mean, I can start off with – I would start with, you know, Royce Hamm, who is a guy who has just been there every single night. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him every night, which is so important, especially at that position. Strong defense, rebounding. He's going to give you 8 points, 10 rebounds, a block. He's going to play 30 minutes. You can build around that. Jordan McCabe, I think, has come on from a guy who wasn't contributing much early in the year to he runs that offense now. Donovan Williams has been banged up, and he's still working his way back into the lineup, but he has shot the ball. And for a guy who – shot under 20% from three-point range in his first 2 years in college to all of a sudden be a 40% three-point shooter. I think he's like 50% in conference play. That's incredible. I did not expect anything close to that. So they've had a bunch of guys who have exceeded expectations like that.
Yeah, and, you know, part of that I think is how UNLV, Kruger, and his staff have kind of developed the players. So to their credit, and, you know, I think, you know, they found some guys who were in major conferences who were kind of underutilized, if you will. The other thing, maybe lastly in our talk, that's been impressive for me is I was worried about Kevin at the end of a ball game because he doesn't have veteran reps with the clipboard and the dry eraser, right? And you worry that maybe he might get out coached at the end of a game. But I haven't seen that at all. He's been very, 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 very darn impressive down the stretch. I can't think of a game where I was like, huh, wonder why Kevin did that. Or, huh, they could have won if, you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to think of, in conference play, they haven't really played many close games that have come down to like the final minute where it's, you know, within one possession. At Fresno State last week was a game that they won in the last minute. At Boise State, they lost. That game was close. It didn't come down to like the final possession, like drawing up final plays, but that was a game that was close in the, you know, down the stretch. Other than that, I don't think it's really come up. Like, I don't think he's been forced into a spot where he's had to say, like, there's four possessions left in this game. Here's the substitutions I know I'm going to make ahead of time, offense, defense, every time down. Here's the four plays I'm going to call. I don't think it's really come down to that yet. So I guess I would say we just haven't seen it yet, where he's had to call that timeout and, you know, do the big coaching decision in the final seconds.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing for an entire year, almost 30 games in now, and we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I do think they got the baseline, the foundation of a team that's going to make some noise. You know, it's an old group too, you know, even though they've only been together for a handful of months, you've got, you know, a Royce Hamm is a 23-year-old guy, Jordan McCabe, who's, you know, older, Bryce Hamilton, a fourth-year senior. Those three guys are touching the ball every possession. And it really shows, and it just goes to really illustrate that the Mountain West is a very, very winnable league, right? You're basically taking 10 guys that average 11 minutes per game and 2 points per game, and they're more than capable.
Yeah, it's a veteran team. It's a team that hasn't played together, but it's a team that has played. They've got a lot of experience, at least in college basketball, and that maturity that comes with it. It's been an interesting experience just to watch them throughout the season. I do think the narrative of, you know, quote unquote, getting hot at the right time or playing your best basketball at the end of the year, that always sucks me in. I am a total sucker for that narrative, for that storyline. But I do think that there is something to it. And I think that I'm seeing it with this team. Like it just seems like they know what they're doing on the floor. Like everyone's role is so defined at this point. And I think that's half the battle with the team, especially, you know, you're seeing Kruger starting to trim the rotation. Some guys aren't, you know, he's not going 10, 11 deep every night. Now he knows his guys, he knows what he wants them to do. The players know when they're going to sub in for the most part, what's going to be asked of them, what plays they're going to run while they're in the game. And I think just getting to that point is half the battle in fielding a team that can be competitive in a tournament scenario. So I really like the spot that they're in now. And I think the results are, I don't know if as a UNLV fan, I don't know if you could ask for more out of this season. You might have wanted one win against San Diego State. Maybe win one of those games early in the year when they were playing, you know, Wichita State, Michigan. Maybe you wanted one of those upsets, one win over San Diego State. But then you're taught that's like you're dreaming at that point.
And it was still so early, you know.
Yeah. So I think like this is about as good as anyone could have reasonably expected them to play. I think they're number 80 in KenPom right now with, two games against top 50 teams coming up, where if you win one or two of those games, we could see UNLV like in the top 70. Like, could UNLV be in the top 68 of KenPom if they win their next two games? That's not out of the realm of possibility. That would be quite a climb.
Michael, what would be really cool, lastly, is if the hometown faithful showed up for these last two home games and then to the league tournament to give UNLV a slight edge on its home court, and then also kind of propel an offseason, a promotion for the team.
I don't think it happens that quickly. I don't think fans respond, you know, on 2 days' notice. I think you got to give them an off season of like, hey, this team did something great. Now get excited about them in the off season, and then, you know, bring it back next year. You may see an increase in tickets. I'm not sure how much of a bump they're going to get you know, on Saturday when they play Boise State, but it definitely would be nice. They've earned it. Like, they've definitely earned some crowd support. Especially if you're just a basketball fan in Las Vegas and you want to see a show, like, is there a better show than Bryce Hamilton, what he's doing right now? Like, he's scoring 30 points a game. They're all highlight baskets. He's doing it one-on-one. He's hitting threes. I guess we can end on this. Like, is Bryce Hamilton the player of the year in the league, in your opinion?
Well, he is. I mean, I think the guy from San Diego – oh, well, is he an All-American? I'll answer your question with a question.
What was the question?
You said, is Bryce Hamilton the Mountain West player of the year? And I said, is he an All-American?
Oh, no, he's not going to be an All-American.
Is the kid from Fresno going to be an All-American?
Orlando Robinson? No. I think this league's best shot at an All-American was David Roddy, because he had some hype early in the season and he was putting up, you know, crazy numbers. He's tailed off as the season has gone on. I would say, if you ask me right now to handicap the Mountain West race for player of the year, it would be Graham Ike from Wyoming. He's the number two scorer, number one rebounder in the league. And Bryce Hamilton, I would say, is the other guy. I would say those are like 1 and 1A. So,
well, I will say that we will do this once again before the league tournament. For Michael, I'm Ray, and you are listening to Las Vegas Sun Sports Talk, the Rebel Room.